Half of sugar our kids consume comes from unhealthy sugary drinks and snacks, leading to obesity and dental decay. A new Change for Life campaign being launched by Public Health England is encouraging parents to take control of their children's snacking and limit them to 200 100-calorie snacks per day. They are suggesting that switching chocolate bars for rice cakes and sugar-free jelly. Sounds disgusting. Special offers on a range of healthier snacks, including fruit and vegetables, are going to be offered to parents at selected supermarkets, including money-off vouchers to help them try healthier snack options. So what do you reckon? Could you reduce your kids' intake, the snacks that they get, to 2 100-calorie snacks per day? 0, 30, 30, 80, 55, 55. Joining me is the size acceptance campaigner Catherine Shizeki and the commentator and writer Emma Wolfe. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
We seem to talk about the limiting kids' intake, Catherine, quite often, and this seems very strict to me. 2 100-calorie snacks per day. What do you think of it?
Well, it's a good place to aim, but to be honest with you, in reality, it's not going to happen, is it? If a child's hungry, a child's hungry, and you're going to give them what you have or the best thing you can find at the time. And if supermarkets are promoting unhealthy food and children want unhealthy food, which, I mean, to me, why is it on the shelf in the first place if it's unhealthy and it's aimed at children? Then sometimes you just grab the nearest thing. So I think parents are under a huge amount of strain, and I think they're doing their best in a difficult circumstance.
Everything in moderation, though, some would say, Catherine, that if you're trying to decide what your kid should eat, regardless of what special offers the supermarkets put on or people advertise on TV, it doesn't mean you have to give in to your kid and let them eat it. You're the adult. You make the decision.
Yeah, well, that's the ideal. I think a lot of parents are absolutely in that groove, and they don't give in. But when you have children's food advertised in such a way that it is in bright colour packaging with cartoon characters all over it, in children's, you know, programmes on TV and all kinds of other things, it's a very difficult thing to go against your child every single time. Especially if other children are having that snack and they say, well, so-and-so's got it, why can't I have it?
Okay.
And if you see things on the package that say it's healthy or it's low-fat or it's this or it's that, then, you know, what do you know? You have to actually do a lot of investigation to find out what you're actually feeding yourself and your children before you can actually pick it off the shelf and say, yes, this is the correct
choice. Okay. Emma Wolfe?
Well, first of all, that last point I think is rubbish. You don't have to do a lot of investigation. A chocolate bar or packet of biscuits is unhealthy, and a tangerine or a banana is healthy. We all know what's healthy and what's unhealthy. And I don't even know when snacks became a thing. What is this thing about constant grazing? If you're going to graze constantly, actually, whatever you're grazing on constantly, you're going to put on weight. I think up to a third now of children leaving primary school are overweight or obese. And the fact is, when I was a child, if you wanted to eat between meals, you could have something from the fruit bowl. Okay. Now the problem is, yeah, you know, all of these constant, all of these.
There's
snacks,
also the issue, Emma, when it comes to saying, right, 2 100-calorie snacks a day, how will you know? Do parents really know enough? Do we all know enough in terms of what you can pick? For example, I saw them, just one chocolate bar. I know there's many available, but Mars, it's over 200 calories. So you couldn't even eat that. You could split it and maybe you could squeeze that in per day if you wanted to. But
exactly,
it's the understanding.
100 calories really isn't a lot. You know, many biscuits are just over 100, you know.
Yeah, so apparently you can have a bag of Watsons for 99 calories, so Stephen will be fine.
That's not healthy. I mean, you should be having a banana or an apple if you're hungry between meals. I think it's about, you know, teaching children that for a lifetime rather than trying to cut down. If they're counting calories at the age of 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, then I'd be worried about their future. And you know what? If this takes a
You're contradicting yourself, though, Emma. Surely that's part of what we have to do to so people...
No, we just go back
to apparently,
normal eating, Vinny.
Gareth is Googling behind the scenes about what, in terms of calories. Say that again. Walker's, 100 grams, like, you know, the share bag, and let's face it, nobody actually shares them. 525 calories in that. Now, that surprises me, and I'm sure other brands of crisps are very similar in terms of their calorific content. But do we know enough, Catherine, when it comes to this, or is this just going to confuse parents even further?
I think it is confusing, and I think that your other contributor is talking about things in an ideal situation. A lot of the time, it's not an ideal situation. You pick up the kids from school, they're starving. You've got to get the shop done, you've got to get this done, you've got to go on to your next job, and you end up in a supermarket, and they end up pestering the hell out of you, and you buy whatever they want. It's a difficult one. I'm not saying it's how it should be. I'm just talking about the reality of it. The reality of it is that we don't necessarily reach for fruit. We reach for whatever they want.
Do you accept, Catherine, and sorry to talk over you, we're just a bit tight for time, time, but do you accept that there is an issue when it comes to obesity and in particular with kids?
I think there is an issue, yes, but I think it's a complex issue. It's not just this easy in, easy out formula that seems to be put
eating
around.
The wrong things is adding to it, surely.
Eating the wrong things, yes, but you try and find me the right things. I agree with the fruit.
An apple. Eat an apple, don't eat a bag of crisps.
Fantastic. But will it
satisfy? Why does everyone pretend that it's easier to buy a bag of crisps than it is to buy a bag of apples? It's just nonsense.
Sometimes, though, Emma, sometimes it is cheaper. And sometimes the food that's bad
that's
for you
why,
is cheaper.
That's what I'm trying to say. That it's time for the food manufacturers and the supermarkets. I'm not blaming parents. I'm blaming the people that are offering huge amounts of junk food. You know, pound for pound, penny for penny, you can buy a heck of a lot more junk food than you can buy fresh fruit and vegetables. And that is a scandal. And if you want to buy organic or anything like that, it's much more expensive. And that is wrong. And I'm saying we need to crack down. And they need to take responsibility for making our children obese. Not blaming parents.
Okay, Emma and Catherine, stay there for a moment. We'll take a break for the news. We were talking before the news about a suggestion that you recommend the amount of sugary and fatty snacks that you give to your kids so that they're getting two snacks per day and they each have a 100 calorie limit. We have Emma Wolfe and Catherine Shizeki on the line. We also have a caller on this, Gareth and Bangor. Go ahead, Gareth.
Hi, Benny. How's it going?
Not bad. What do you reckon?
Well, Benny, this is only my opinion and what we're actually doing is just doing a test with, but not a test, sort of running it to see if the way I was brought up, trying it on, bringing it up with my son. Whenever I was growing up, my mother never gave anything sugary for the first 2 years. No sweets, no only like fruit, natural sugars and stuff for the first 2 years. And I'm 33 now, and I don't have a filling in my tooth. In the mouth at all.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I was brought up the same way. We used to be able to get the fizzy drinks delivered to your house. We were never allowed that. I had no idea. My cousins from England would come over and they would ask for pop. I had no idea what they were talking about. It was water. Dilutin Orange was as exotic as it got in our house. And I had no fill-ins until I started to work in KFC when I was about 16. And then I went to the dentist and had about 5 at the same time. And that was because I was let loose on as much sugary drinks as I wanted to have. So you think it's all about how you're brought up then, Garth?
Exactly, yeah. Because, see, a child doesn't understand anything like that, concepts at all. If people are feeding their kids sweets, fizzy drinks, and stuff like that there, it's also leading to diabetes, overweight, stuff like that there. It is down to the parents, and if they, I know in this day and age, it's financially not right, or financially not able to provide a child with the healthier option because some people are living below the breadline.
And quite often the stuff that's unhealthy is cheaper, so the healthy options quite often are more expensive.
Exactly. Yeah, well, in some cases not really, because you think about it this way, Vinny, how much does it cost for a 2 litre of diluted orange?
I don't know, a pound?
Average, about a pound, yeah, right? You look at the 2 litre, you look at a 2 litre of, say, your branded Coke or unbranded Coke and all, yeah, okay, it's maybe 50, 60 feet, but that'll only do you for 2 litres. But see that 2 litre or the litre of diluted orange, that'll do you for maybe 5, 6, 7 litres. Of liquid.
Of course, there can be sugar in Dilutin Orange. I know a lot of it now says no added sugar. Garth, thanks for that. Catherine, some people will be critical of parents and say, you know what, parents are maybe letting the kids have what they, as the parent, like themselves. So there's an element of irresponsibility there because your child's health, it starts with you.
I think that's rare. I think most parents are doing a damn good job out there and under very difficult circumstances. I often see on the bus as I'm coming home lots of parents with little snack pots and things they've bought from home, but they haven't even gone anywhere near a supermarket or a shop to buy a snack for their children after school. But you could also look at school dinners and what children have actually been fed during the day, because once they're at school, you have no control over what's going on in the school environment. I think a lot of school food is actually complete rubbish. And when you eat rubbish food, you're going to want more because your body is asking for more nutrition. So you'll get hungrier quicker if you're eating complete rubbish.
Just going back to what I said there, Catherine, and I'm trying to be as sensitive to people that are overweight. I could do with losing a bit myself. But I have heard people comment before on the fact that overweight children can often have overweight parents. And therefore, from the outside, people might look at that and say, well, look, that's nurture. That's how they're being brought up by their parents. They're eating the same as their parents, the same types of food, and therefore it's leading to the same weight issues that their parents have.
If we could put weight down to simple things like what we eat and what goes in and what goes out, that would be fine. Unfortunately, it's more complex than that. And when you look at inherited factors, sometimes people come in different shapes and sizes at different times of their life for different reasons. So saying that you've got a large-sized parent, which guarantees a large-sized child, I think is completely wrong. It's very misleading. And I think that is the wrong way to look at this whole issue, is that somehow, you know, a fat parent will bring a fat... It's wrong. Basically, children come in different shapes and sizes. You never know. My mother, I'm a very large person. My mother was tiny. My mother was small. It doesn't always work that way. I don't think it always, and it can't be boiled down to simply, you know, what you eat. It's just many more factors.
Catherine, may I get a word?
Last word to you on this, Emma. Go ahead, and then we're going to move on.
It's just that Catherine always says this, and it consistently ignores the fact that obesity levels are rising massively amongst, well, adults and children. It isn't down to just what size people are born. It is to do with what goes in and what goes out. And people's consumption of calories and fat and sugar and salt is massively increasing. And that
is nothing to do with our lifestyle change.
That's
nothing
to do with the fact that our obesity is on the rise. Of course, lifestyle change as well. What goes in and what goes out.
Our movement.
We move.
Thing has been cut at school, nothing to do with the fact we no longer do manual labour, nothing
exactly.
to do with the fact that we have different sedentary lives.
Okay, one at a time.
Whole different factor.
Okay, well, Emma, last word on this to you. Go ahead.
Well, I cover that because I said what goes in, i.e. calories, and what goes out, i.e. activity. And if we're not doing enough activity to burn off the huge increase in calories, then we are going to get overweight and obese.
Okay.
And this is what's happening.